The makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and your host, Don Ameche. This is the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and this is Don Ameche with hearty greetings from us all, from Nelson Eddy, from Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster. We all join in extending a warm welcome to the Stroud twins, Clarence and Claude, two young men with a new and fresh comedy style. And we take very real pride in having as our guest today the screen's popular idol, Clark Gable.
Oh, Mr. Ameche.
Now, what is it, Charlie?
Did you say Clark Gable?
That's right, Charlie.
Let's both take a vacation. No.
Too much competition for you, Charlie?
Well, no. Bring it on.
We hope that you'll enjoy our show and that we can count you all as our friends and, of course, friends of Chase and Sanborn. Nelson Eddy greets you tonight with one of our favorite melodies from the Desert Song. And a mighty fine song it is too, Nelson. Nelson Eddy singing One Alone.
Lonely as a desert breeze, I may wander where I please, yet I keep on longing just to rest a while, where a sweetheart's tender eyes take the place of sand and skies, all the world forgotten in one woman's smile. One alone to be my own, I alone to know her caresses, one to be eternally the one my worshipping soul possesses. At her call I'd give my all my life and all my love and yearning. This would be a magic world to me if she were mine.
Adventurous life of the sea is the background for Nelson Eddy's next song. It tells of the days of old when pirates roamed the seven seas and the bold bad mate of Henry Morgan had to have his swig of rum to get excitement out of life. Nelson Eddy singing Dean Taylor's Robust Saga of the Sea, Captain Stratton's Fancy.
Some are fond of red wine and some are fond of white, and some are all for dancing by the pale moonlight. But rum alone's the tipple and the heart's delight of the old bold mate of Henry Morgan. Oh, some are fond of Spanish wine and some are fond of French, and some will swallow tay and stuff to try their thirst to quench. But I'm for right Jamaica till I roll beneath the bench, says the old bold maid of Henry Morgan. Oh, some are for the lilies and some are for the rose, but I am for the sugar cane that in Jamaica grows. For it's that that makes the bunny drink to warm my copper nose, says the old bold maid of Henry Morgan. Some are fond of dancing and some are fond of dice, and some are all for red lips and pretty lasses' eyes. But a right Jamaica puncheon is a fine art of prize to the old bold maid of Henry Morgan. Oh, some that's good and godly ones, they hold it as a sin to troll the jolly bowl around and let the dollar spin. But I'm a for toleration and for drinking at an inn, says the old maid of Henry Morgan. Oh, some are sad and wretched folk that go in silken suits, and there's a mortal wicked rogues that live in good repute. So I'm for living honestly and dying in my boots like an old bold maid of Henry Morgan.
Nelson, you certainly painted a clear picture of those swashbuckling pirate times. Ah, those were the days.
Yo, ho, ho, you said it, matey.
No one around like that bold, bad mate of Henry Morgan today, is there?
No, but today we have to watch out for that little bad boy of Edgar Bergen.
You're right, Nels. Look at him. Look at that wicked glint in his moniker, will you?
Ever me timbers.
Yeah, he must be planning to make Edgar Bergen walk the plank again. What's your playmatey up to this time, Edgar?
Well, I'm really not up on that, Don. I've been wrapped up in my studies the past week. I'm studying optometry.
Oh, are you serious about it?
Well, I am interested in the subject. I even have my ophthalmoscope with me.
You got your what with you, Mr. Berger?
Yeah. My ophthalmoscope.
Ophthalmoscope?
Yes.
Oh, ophthalmoscope. Yeah. Well, what does it do? How does it... What do you... Why?
Why, what?
What's it for? What's it do?
The what?
The thing. The... Why?
Why what?
There's a ophthalmoscope. What's in the car?
Oh, you mean the ophthalmoscope?
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah. How do you expect me to say it if you can't even pronounce it all? What does it mean?
Well, ophthalmology, it comes from two Greek words.
Does it really?
Yes.
Good, isn't it?
Yes. Ophthalmos and logia, meaning the study of the eyes.
Oh, that is clever.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
The gadget looks more like a stufa.
Like a what?
A stufa.
A stufa?
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, it comes from a Latin word, yaha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which means to squirt without splashing. Which means nothing. Are you going to be an eye doctor, Mr. Bergen?
Yes, well, I will be able to practice if I have to.
Uh-huh.
One never knows what the future holds.
No. No. Oh, I see. Yeah. I'm afraid I might walk out on you. Don't worry, I'll stick with you, Bergen.
Thank you, Charlie.
I don't say that I couldn't do better on my own, but I just couldn't stand to see you going to work now.
I see. That's very nice of you, Charlie.
Yeah, I thought you'd like it, yeah.
Well, just to be safe, Charlie, I will continue my studying.
Oh, you will?
Yes. And I might suggest that you do a little more of the same thing yourself.
Oh, silly boy. You won't find me wearing myself out studying when there's a chance to go fishing.
Yes, that's very poor logic.
Yeah.
Yes. If I thought more of fishing than of studying, where would I be today?
Well, I guess you'd be fishing.
Yes, that's right. Charlie, you must learn the habit of study.
Well, why, only last night I was up until after midnight studying.
You were?
Yes.
Well, does it take you that long to do your homework?
Yes, it does. It really does. You know, to do it right.
Yes.
It's 11 o'clock before you get out of the movies.
Oh, I see.
Doesn't leave a lot of time.
No. Well, then you didn't do very much studying after all.
No.
No.
No, I guess not, no. Not actually.
No, I know.
Well, it's bad for the eyes.
Yes, I imagine. Now, there's a thought.
Huh?
Maybe I should examine your eyes.
No. I left myself open for that.
Listen to me. No, please, listen, darling. Just let me... I only want to look at them.
No. You're not going to talk me into glasses. Imagine me in glasses.
Yeah, right. How many people do you think are going without glasses today who really need them?
Oh, about half as many as you're going to say.
Tell me, Charlie, do you ever see spots?
Spots?
Yes.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at spots, I...
Yes. How close do you hold your book to your eyes when you read?
Oh, at arm's length?
At arm's length.
Further the better.
I see. Well, then you need glasses.
Well, either that or a longer arm. My right eye is a little weak. That's why I wear the monocle.
I see. Then they are bad.
Oh, but you're still good. Still good. I can see the sun on a clear day.
Well, that's right. Do you have trouble bumping into things?
Yeah, that starts tomorrow.
Oh. What does?
The trouble.
Oh, I see.
I bumped into the truant officer today.
Oh. Well, I'm concerned with your eyesight at present.
Uh-huh.
Let me examine your eyes.
Now, please, please, Bergen. One thing I'm sure I got is good eyes.
Yes?
Yeah, and I'm not even sure of that, no.
Well, the examination with the ophthalmoscope will clear that all up.
Yes?
Now, I want you to just look in this little hole here.
In the little hole?
Yes, that's all I have to do.
Just look in the little hole?
That's right.
Oh, I know. You're going to squirt water on me.
No. Just look in the little hole.
Uh-huh. The little round hole.
That's right.
Uh-huh. I just peek in there. That's right. Oh, I know. Bathing girls?
No. This is an examination.
Awfully sorry.
Yes.
I'm a cad.
Just look in the little round hole, please.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
Uh-huh.
That's fine.
I can't see a darn thing. Maybe I should put a penny in there.
Oh. I'm trying to study your eyes.
Oh, very good, sir. Can you see my pupil?
Yes, yes. Open wide. No. I mean your eyes. Simple.
Why didn't you say your eyes?
All right.
You didn't say
eyes. Oh, silence, please.
Say what you mean. That's what you should say. Just open wide. You don't say what... Oh,
quiet, please, quiet.
Just don't say what you mean. You can't. I'm not a mind reader.
All right. All right.
Say what you mean. That's the least you could...
Well, have you anything more to say?
No.
All right. Let's have quiet.
Just say what you mean, that's all.
Yes, all right. Mm-hmm. Well, now...
Imagine me with glasses, I'd look silly.
No, you won't. There are so many smart styles, Charlie. Why, there's one that's sure to become you.
Yeah.
What kind would you like?
Oh, something I could see through.
Yes, I know. Do you want nose glasses?
No, eyeglasses.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I don't know.
Perhaps Oxfords might become you.
Oxfords?
Yes.
Yeah, something in a low heel with a tortoise shell.
Well, I've ordered some tortoiseshell rims, but they're a little late in arriving.
Well, you know how turtles are.
Oh, that's funny.
I liked it.
Yes.
Now, before we go any further, how much would a pair of glasses cost me? That is, if I should buy. Which I won't do.
No. Well, I can make you up a very fine pair of glasses for $25.
$25?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would I get a little piece of flannel free?
Yes, yes. I'll give you a cleaning cloth free.
That's nice. That sounds fair.
But if you want something really with a gold frame, that's very smart.
Uh-huh.
It would cost you $45.
$45, yes. But I would still get a piece of flannel free.
Oh, yes.
That's nice, yes.
Yeah. Now, of course, I have frames that run as high as $75.
$75, yeah. Well, I would still get a piece of flannel for nothing.
Oh, yes.
Gordon, you know, I think you're trying to make money off me.
Charlie, rather than have you think that, I would give you a pair of glasses for nothing.
You would?
Yes.
Would I? Would you give me the piece of flannel?
I think if I'm giving you the glasses free, that's quite enough.
Oh, I knew there was a catch in it.
Isn't it more important to have free glasses than a free flannel? You mean a flannel free? Flannel fiddle. Or fiddlesticks.
We all know and love the music of George Gershwin. But there is one of his score that has never been heard. The music for Fred Astaire's new picture, Damsel in Distress. Thanks to RKO, we have the privilege of introducing these lovely melodies. Dorothy L'Amour sings the first one, George Gershwin's Foggy Day.
Out of town were the people I knew. I had the feeling of self-pity. What to do, what to do, what to do? The outlook was decidedly blue. But as I walked through foggy streets alone, it turned out to be the luckiest day I've known. A foggy day in London town had me low, had me down. I view the morning with alarm. The British Museum had lost its charm. How long I wondered could this thing last, but the age of miracles hadn't passed. Suddenly I saw you there, and through foggy London town, the sun was shining everywhere. The British Museum had lost its charm. How long I wondered could this thing last, but the age of miracles hadn't come. Suddenly I saw you there, and through foggy London town, the sun was shining everywhere.
Here's news of tremendous interest.
Ladies and gentlemen, we regret the momentary delay in the Chase and Sanborn program. We will resume in just a moment.
test pilot. For us, he plays scenes from All Quiet on the Western Front, the picture which Universal made from Eric Remarque's famous book, acclaimed as one of the greatest chronicles of the World War. All Quiet on the Western Front, with Clark Gable as Franz and Don Ameche as Paul, two young German soldiers. The scene is a dugout in the frontline trenches on the Western Front. It is a summer evening in 1918. The sound of muffled cannon on another sector drifts into the dugout where Franz and Paul are cooking a goose that Franz has stolen.
Isn't it cooked yet, Franz?
It takes a long time to roast a goose. Here, Paul, you base it a while. Where's Carl?
I left the dugout a while ago. Poor kid, he's scared stiff. You know, it's kind of tough on these new recruits.
Listen to the old veteran. Well, I remember when we first came up to the front, we were scared to death, too.
When we first came up, gosh, we were young then, Franz. Wonder what'll happen when we go back.
I don't know. When I think about it, when I hear the word peacetime, it goes to my head. If it really came, I think I would do some unimaginable thing. Something worth having lain here in the mud for.
4 years of shells and bombs. Man won't peel that off as easy as a sock. Why don't they make the end of it?
Hello?
Oh, hi. Hi, Carl. You're just in time.
Say, what are you doing with those cherry blossoms?
There was a tree in the orchard back there a ways. We have a big orchard with cherry trees at home. When they're in blossom from the hayloft, they look like one single sheet, so white. It's just the time.
You little fool. You might have been picked off by some sniper. Here, come on. Get your food.
Smells wonderful.
It's goose. Say, it's done now, Franz.
Yeah, grab a piece. Hey, what's the matter?
It makes me think of home. My mother always cooked goose on my birthday.
Oh, but never one as good as this, Carl. Go on, get your mess plate.
Where did you get a goose? We've had nothing but turnips for so long.
Oh, I did a bit of foraging.
It's a gift with Franz, finding food. He was left in the middle of the ocean on a raft. He'd shoot a bear within half an hour and serve it up with mashed potatoes on a white cloth. Say, what's the matter, Carl?
What was that? Franz, what was it?
Oh, just a 12-incher. You'll soon learn the difference.
Yes.
They're closer.
Come on now, buck up, Carl. They're just beginning to wake up over there, but they haven't got our range yet.
Huh.
That gave you a fright. Well, it was only a nose cap. Landed in the bushes behind us.
Franz, I'm scared. Oh, I want to go home. I didn't know I was such a baby.
Every man's a baby when he first comes out here. Two more days make a week, kid. And then you can say you've been under fire. Here we go again.
Oh, come on. You'll get used to it, Carl.
Yes, this may go on for hours. Here, come on. Come on now. Eat your goose.
I can't.
Now, take it easy, Carl. Take it easy.
I can't stand it. Leave me alone.
Carl.
Let me out of here.
Carl.
Let me out.
Okay. Grab him,
Carl. Carl.
Carl. A young fool is climbing out of the trench.
Carl, what's the matter? Is he it? It's all right, Carl. It's all right. We've got you now. Easy, Paul. That's it. Where did you get your car?
I don't know.
Here, let me look. Wet his face from your canteen, Paul.
All right.
Oh. The whole joint's gone. I'll get a stretcher.
Paul, don't go away. Stay with me.
He's fainted.
Yes. He's numb now, but in an hour he'll be screaming with pain.
And days before he dies. Such a kid, Paul. Such a kid.
Oh, God. This is Carl Kimbrick, 19 years old. And he doesn't want to die. Please don't let him die.
Buck up, Paul. Maybe he's better off than we are.
Franz, he's from my hometown. I'm going on leave next week. I'll have to see his mother. I'll have to tell her.
Why are you living, Paul, when Carl is dead?
I don't know.
Tell me. Did you see Carl die? Did you see him then? How did he die?
He was shot through the heart. He died instantly.
You lie. I know better. I've felt how terribly he died. I've heard his cries at night. Felt his anguish. Oh, tell me the truth. I want to know it. I must know it.
I was beside him. He died at once.
Oh, I know you want to comfort me. And I can't bear the uncertainty. Tell me how he died. No matter how terrible it was, it'll be far better than what I'm thinking.
Carl died immediately. He felt absolutely nothing. His face was quite calm.
Will you swear it? By everything that's sacred to you?
Sacred? What is this sacred to me? Such things change pretty quickly with us out there.
But will you swear it? Are you willing never to come back yourself if it isn't true?
Yes. Yes, Carl died at once. May I never come back if he wasn't killed instantaneously.
Picked a good shell hole.
Oh, boy, I'm up the mud.
You think he's glad you're alive after that retreat?
Yeah, counterattack's gone over it.
How was it back home, Paul?
That was all right.
You saw Carl's mother?
Let's not talk about that. Franz.
What is it?
Someone's coming. Got your gun?
No, I dropped it in the attack. I got my knife, though.
Maybe one of them.
Yeah, it is. He's coming in here. But I got him.
Oh!
Yeah. He won't do us any harm. Now!
Is he dead?
He must be. I stabbed him. Paul, I didn't want to kill him.
Oh, don't be foolish, Franz. We can't help it. That's what we're here for, to kill or be killed.
Oh. Paul, he isn't dead. He isn't dead. Here, get me a bandage, quick. In my kit.
All right, get his coat open.
Here, we'll fix you up, fella. Let me turn you over. No. Don't look at me like that. I won't hurt you. I want to help you.
Here you are, Franz. The bandages.
Oh, if you could only understand me. It's all right. Comrade.
And to think if we'd only run 2 yards further to the left, we'd never have had to do it. Franz, give him some water. I can't stand this.
My canteen's empty.
Well, use mine. There's a bullet hole right through it. Well, we've got to get him some water. The firing's lit up some. I'll see what I can find.
Where are you going?
Well, there must be a canteen on some of the corpses. I'll be right back.
Paul, be careful. Why do you take so long dying? You're going to die anyway. No, I didn't mean that. You won't die. They're only little wounds. You'll get home long before we will. You're dead. Well, they can't do any more to you. Why should they send us out to fight each other?
Franz!
I'm here, Paul. Paul, get back in the shell hole, quick. Give me your hand. I've got you there.
After 4 years. To get it now, just the very last.
The last? Who knows how long this mess will go on? Here, let's have a look.
Oh.
It's not bad, Paul. Just below the knee. You're saved. You'll go home.
The bandages in my kit. Better use a piece of my past. Franz, how far below the knee am I hit?
At least 4 inches.
You're lying. It's hardly an inch. Franz, if they take my leg off, I'll kill myself.
Shut up. I tell you it's nothing.
If I ever get through this mess, I wanted to be a forester.
You can still be a forester.
I won't go through life as a cripple. I'll kill myself.
You won't do that. You're not a coward, Paul. And you wouldn't leave me alone. All the boys we came out with are gone. Hans, Albert, and Wilhelm.
Oh, nothing to look forward to but mud.
Mud. No. Here, cheer up, old man. Have a cigarette. We aren't dead yet. Hey, Paul, do you remember how we stole the goose and cooked it?
You brought me out of the barrage when I was a young recruit and wounded for the first time. I cried then, Franz. It's almost 4 years ago.
4 years. There. That bandage will hold you for a while. Now, come on. I'm going to carry you in.
No. We'll make too good a target. Go on, Franz. I'll crawl in after you.
Don't be a fool. Come on now. Here. Up over the edge of the hole. Here we go.
Am I very heavy?
No. Light as a feather. Audley, get a stretcher.
What have you got?
Paul, he's wounded in the knee. I brought him in.
Here, let me help you lay him down. Easy. You might have saved yourself the trouble. He's dead.
Dead? Well, it can't be. He's just been hit in the knee. He's fainted.
He's stone dead. Splinter must have got him in the head while you were carrying him.
Dead? Paul. 4 years of hell, and I'm still alive. Alone.
And Franz himself? He fell a month before the armistice. On a day so still that the honor report confined itself to the single sentence, "All quiet on the Western Front."
Thanks, Clark Gable, for your fine performance of Franz in All Quiet on the Western Front, the famous Eric Remarque story of the World War. The Chase and Sanborn Hour with Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, the Stroud Twins, Robert Arm Brewster, and our guest Clark Gable will continue in just a moment.
Gable. What an actor. What a hero. What a man.
You're right, Charlie.
Huh?
Yes. There's one man who deserves his reputation. He's handsome, talented, he's suave, and a real man's man.
Oh, let's not talk about me. Let's talk about Gable.
I am talking about Gable, Charlie.
Yeah?
Yes. And it's well for you to watch him, for there's much to learn.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't like to have this get around, you know. But Gable knows McCarthy's in town.
He does.
Yes.
I imagine he's quite concerned.
Well, now, this is strictly confidential. But Gable called me up the other day, and he asked me to take it a little easy out here in Hollywood.
Oh, he didn't.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
Yes. You know, friendly rivalry.
Yes, I know. And what was the outcome?
Well, I promised him I wouldn't wear a turtleneck sweater. And he promised me he wouldn't wear a monocle.
Oh, I... Is that the truth, Charlie?
I say, is that the truth? Well, I told you. Is it the truth? No. But it's a good line.
Yeah. Well, I see. Would you like to meet Clark Gable, Charlie?
Yes, I would. But don't repeat what I said, Bergen. No, don't repeat. No, don't be a cad. No, I don't.
Clark, my little friend Charlie McCarthy wants to meet you.
Well, and I've always wanted to meet him. Well, so you're Charlie McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're Clark Gable.
Well, I'm Edgar Bergen.
So what? You know, Mr. Gable, I've written a poem about you.
You have, Charlie? It should be good.
It should be, but will it?
Oh, I'm sure it will.
Well, here's his. When girls are born, they start to talk as soon as they are able. And the first three words they ever say are Mama, Papa, Gable.
Say, that's quite flattering, Johnny. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Now, I'll try to return the compliment in rhyme. Claudette, Carol, Sonia, Madge, Miriam, Joan, and Dorothy. What's the difference? What the name? They all love McCarthy.
Yeah, McCarthy. You strained yourself a little there, I think.
Well, what did Keats's jelly have that we haven't got?
Well, rhymes for one thing.
You know, Charlie, we should be great friends.
Yeah, we should. Even though we are competitors.
Competitors?
Well, yes.
Why, Charlie, I couldn't hope to compete with such a great lover as you.
No? Well, that's true. I am. Of course not. Well, now, what I mean is I...
Yes, I know what you mean.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Well, I'll have to be more careful next time.
Well, no, frankly, Charlie, I admire you.
Uh-huh. You admire me?
Yes.
Oh, I really, I'm not so much.
Well, there's something about you. I don't know what to call it.
Well, you really couldn't call me very handsome, could you?
No, I couldn't. But I mean...
I know what you mean.
Well, then I'll have to watch myself from now on. No, but strictly, between us, Charlie, to what do you attribute your great success as a Casanova? Will you tell me?
Well, now,
come on, Charlie.
Oh, I don't know.
Come on, you can be frank with me.
Yes, I know, but does Gobble tell Dietrich?
Well, I'll keep it a secret, Charlie.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what I'll do. If you tell me your system, I'll tell you mine.
Of course, I'm giving more than I'm getting here. But I'm so generous.
Yes, yes, of course. But what about the McCarthy system?
Well, I don't know how I do it, really. But I sweep them off their feet. It's love at first sweep.
I don't approve of those tactics, Charlie. In my opinion...
Please don't interrupt, Bergen. You're listening to experts.
I see it.
Well, is that the complete McCarthy system, Charlie?
That's all, so help me.
Oh, sounds very simple.
But effective. Yeah. Now, how do you operate?
Well, Charlie, now, my method is it's quieter. Dinner invitations and romantic speeches.
Uh-huh.
You may be right, Clark, but I've always found
that... What have you found, Bergen?
Pay no attention to Bergen, Mr. Gable. He's so naive, you know.
Well, I don't want to seem critical, Charlie.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But I still say personality is the answer. Now, I'll call Dorothy L'Amour over, and when I smile in her eyes, watch her swoon.
Yes, you do that, Charlie, and I'll show you how I take her away from you.
Gentlemen, is this a private contest?
Why, no. Have you anything to contribute, Mr. Eddie?
Yes, I have. You've forgotten the most important of all systems.
Huh?
A song is the way to a woman's heart.
All right, Nelson. We'll give you a chance to prove it.
Well, now, fellows, I'll show you the difference between winning a girl and making a fool of yourself. Oh, Dottie.
Yes, Charlie.
Mr. Eddie has something to say to you.
Dorothy, do you enjoy the old love songs?
Yes, I do, Nelson. I think they're beautiful.
Well, I have only this to say. Just a song at twilight when the lights are low.
That's very lovely, Nelson. But don't strain your voice.
Oh, may I sing the rest of it to you when we go out this evening?
I'm sorry, Nelson, not this evening.
What do you do for an encore, Nelson?
Why don't you mail her a copy of the song? All right, batter up. Mr. Gable, next.
Dorothy, your eyes are alight with the dark beauty of the ages.
Thank you, Clark.
You walk like a goddess. Come down amongst men.
Thank you, Clark.
Will you join me for dinner tonight?
No, thank you, Clark. Not this evening.
The score is nothing to nothing. And it's the last half of the ninth. Home run McCarthy coming up. Dottie, darling.
Yes, Charlie, dear.
Tell the gentleman why you wouldn't go out with him this evening.
Because I have a date, Charlie, darling. With Edgar Bergen.
Wow.
A little while ago, Dorothy L'Amour sang one of the songs from the last score written by George Gershwin. I'm going to have the pleasure of introducing another song from the same new picture, Damsel in Distress. This one, in typical gay Gershwin rhythm, is called Nice Work If You Can Get It.
Holding hands at midnight, 'neath a starry sky. Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Slowly with the one girl, sighing sigh after sigh. It's nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Just imagine someone waiting at the cottage door. Where two hearts become one, who could ask for anything more? Loving one who loves you, and then taking that vow. Nice work if you can get it, and if you get it, won't you tell me how? Midnight, 'neath a starry sky. Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Strolling with the one girl, sighing sigh after sigh. It's nice, lurk, if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Just imagine someone waiting at the cottage door, where two hearts become one. Who could ask for anything more? Loving one who loves you, and then taking that vow. Nice work if you can get it, and if you get it, won't you tell me how?
It is always a pleasant privilege to spread the welcome mat out for newcomers to our Chase and Sanborn Company. The more new friends we make, the more old friends we have. And this time, it is a double pleasure, for we greet two young comedians who came to us sort of Mark's special delivery. From the Rainbow Room to the Rudy Valley Hour via fast plane to us, we're mighty happy to present for their first coast appearance that pair of comedy smoothies, the Stroud twins, Clarence and Claude.
Well, here we are. This is our initial broadcast on the West Coast, and I can assure you it's a decided pleasure being in California in such congenial company. It's really transporting to appear on the same show with such distinguished celebrities and a program of this magnitude. It's really thrilling and inspiring. Don't you feel enthused? Why? Well, you... you just arrived. There are many things of interest here.
Oh, there must be something to it.
Well, there certainly is. It's world famous. Hollywood is the home of motion pictures. There's a lot of color and glamour. That should mean something to you.
I'm happy out here. I'm happy about the whole thing.
You're happy about the whole thing. Well, don't forget you have to be good to remain in Hollywood.
You have to be...
I say Hollywood is very critical. You have to
be... New York is critical, too.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, that's why we're out here.
Well, personally, I prefer it here. The weather is so nice in California. The climate is warmer. I find it an agreeable change. It's very salubrious.
Salubrious.
There is a difference in temperature. The air is considerably warmer. You like the warm air?
Yeah.
I say, do you mind the hot air?
No, you can keep on talking.
Well, you had a nice trip out here by plane. Some people never have the opportunity of flying across the country. Wasn't it beautiful when you came up over the mountains? When you came up over the...
Oh, I came up.
Oh, you came up. Well, at least you are here, and we have a splendid show. Nelson Eddy, did you hear him? He's really incomparable. You must like him.
No. I like the songs, all right.
You like the songs?
Yes, but I didn't care so much for him.
Well, he's very gifted. There's nothing personal about it, is there?
No, I just don't care for him.
Edgar Bergen, he's very clever, isn't he?
Is he?
Well, of course, you know what he is. He's a ventriloquist. You know what a ventriloquist is, of course. A ventriloquist.
Well, let's just assume that I do and get along with it.
Well, let's don't skip over it lightly. It's quite a feat. A ventriloquist is a man who throws his voice. It's really an achievement. What do you expect?
Well, if a voice could throw the man, I think it'd have something.
A voice throw the... A voice throw the man. Yes,
yeah.
Well, that's impossible.
Well, I'll wait.
Dorothy Lamour, she's certainly delightful, charming, and ingratiating. You must have responded there.
She offers a great deal, yeah. But I don't care for her.
You don't care for her? No. How about Donna Michi?
Oh, she's all right.
Oh, you're... you don't seem to understand. Don Amici, Don is our host.
When does he serve?
Well, I didn't mean that literally. I mean he's our host. You certainly, of course, you can't overlook the excellent acting of Clark Gable.
Who?
Clark Gable.
Oh yes, Clark Gable. Yeah.
Well, he has contributed some superlative performances to the cinema. He is really magnificent.
Oh, he tries. He tries. Not only does he try, but he has succeeded admirably. He is one of our most celebrated actors. Oh, he's good. He's good. He's getting along, in spite of my opinion. I just don't like him. I like you, though. You're very good. Well, thank you very much. I endeavor to do my best. I'm at least conscientious, and I'm glad that you observed it. Well, you do very well. You have a nice manner about you. You're not too offensive. I'm not too offensive. Well, at any rate, I think you should be more cheerful about California for sentimental reasons. You are a USC man. You're an alumnus. You're an honor student. I understand that you are a Phi Beta Kappa man. Phi Beta Kappa.
Phi Beta Kappa man?
Yes. Well, it's nice to know that you extended yourself.
Well, I gave what I had.
You couldn't do any more than that.
I don't think so.
Well, it's certainly a credit to you to have such a cultural background with your knowledge of the arts and sciences. And what did you major?
Painting.
Painting. Mm. Well, that's commendable.
That's pretty good.
Yes, it is. Well, I thought I'd remark about it. It is.
I'm glad you did.
As long as you majored, you shouldn't regret it. You must have gotten into the higher spheres. You must be acquainted with the works of such artists as Rembrandt and Da Vinci.
Da Vinci?
Da Vinci.
Da Vinci.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh, Leonardo. Yes.
Raphael and Michelangelo.
Joe DiMaggio?
Joe DiMaggio. I just wanted to confirm it. I thought you said that. But you majored in painting.
Yes, I thought I'd established that.
Well, it was a little vague. I didn't want to pin you down too much. Could you give me an idea of what you are working on? I'm not trying to pry, mind you. I'm just a little curious. You don't mind if I evince a certain interest, do you?
Well, if it'll help you.
Well, I think it will. I'd like to know what you are applying yourself to at present. Landscapes?
Landscapes? No.
Portraits?
No portraits, no.
Oil?
Mm.
Watercolors?
Mm. I'm running an elevator.
You mean to tell me with your mental equipment you're running an elevator?
Well, not with my mental equipment. No. Just running it the ordinary way.
Oh, just the ordinary way. Well, that's... what I mean is, with all your education, all you do is run an elevator to the top of the building.
Well, I run it down again.
Oh, you run it down. Well, on a job like that, you don't have very much time for contemplation. Being shooting it, you must miss it.
Oh,
contemplation.
I can get around to that. I got a chance to think a little.
Well, don't the passengers interfere with you?
I don't have any passengers.
Oh, you don't have any?
No, it's just the elevator and me.
Oh. Well, don't people push the buzzers?
Hmm?
I say they don't just stand around and wait. They must push the buzzers.
Oh, they push the buzzers. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, when you get to their floor, don't you stop?
No.
You don't stop?
No.
Well, why not?
Well, nobody paid any attention to me when I was out of work.
Well, when did you take the job?
This morning.
Oh, you took the job this morning. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a wonder you didn't get your notice this evening.
Well, I didn't.
You didn't? Mm-hmm. You mean you're still working?
No, they fired me without notice.
No, without... Well, there's a certain compensation to that. It at least enables you to devote your entire time to your art.
Yes, I'm happy about the whole thing.
You're happy about the whole thing. Well, after all, there must be sacrifices. You must forego things. True art allows no compromise. However, you should have a job. Even an artist must eat.
Yes, must eat. Yes.
Did you ever try painting on an empty stomach?
No, only on canvas. Well, I'd like to try it sometime.
During your course in college, you didn't study anything other than painting. I mean, you didn't restrict yourself. You must have pursued other things.
Oh, yes. Bonds.
Well, I mean in the way of studies.
They were in the way of studies.
Oh, they were in the way of... Well, what I mean is subjects like psychology and botany and chemistry and astronomy.
Chemistry, yes. Chemistry.
Advanced chemistry?
Well, I think so. I mixed dynamite.
Well, it's a very complex study, chemistry. Did you get any results?
Well, I blew up the laboratory.
Oh. What did the professor think?
Well, we haven't found him yet.
He was a nice old fellow, though.
Well, you don't mind if I...
We all loved him.
Oh, you are?
Excuse me, I don't want to interrupt your trend of thought, but by now I do hope that you feel being on this program has been stimulating.
Well, I...
What I mean is, these few moments have been spent pleasantly.
I've been...
What I'm trying to convey is that being here has not been a source of displeasure.
No, I'm not depressed.
Then you're not in any way dispirited.
No, I'm not really despondent.
Then you really haven't minded being here. No, I'm happy about the whole thing.
Tomorrow, when you're buying food, please remember this.
There's a remarkable gift waiting for you at your grocer's, the Chase and Sanborn Radio News, an absorbing rotogravure tabloid filled with pictures of your Chase and Sanborn favorites, large photos of our famous musical entertainers, of Nelson Eddy, of Robert Armbruster, of glamorous Dorothy Lamour, action shots of W.C. Fields, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy, and portraits of your genial host, Don Ameche. These next few days, you'll get this entertaining picture paper absolutely free whenever you buy a pound of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee, the blend you know is fresh. And remember, in coffee, freshness is vital. Stale coffee has a bitter, rancid taste. It may upset your digestion, make you irritable, and give you headaches. You can avoid these dangers with Chase and Sanborn dated coffee, for this superb blend is guaranteed fresh by our unique dating and rapid delivery system. It's rushed, freshly roasted to grocers everywhere, and the delivery date is stamped on every bag, your protection against staleness and rancid taste. With freshness assured by dating and rapid delivery, expensive containers are never needed. So Chase and Sanborn dated coffee is packed in a money-saving dated paper bag. And now, attached to every pound, you get the entertaining Chase and Sanborn radio news. Get it free. Buy Chase and Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
Nelson Eddy sings the brilliant Brindisi from Thoma's opera Hamlet, the colorful drinking song which Hamlet sings as he turns to wine to drive away the sadness in his heart. Nelson Eddy singing the Brindisi.
Oh, that is si per la tristesse, qui pèse sur mon cœur, à moi les rêves de l'ivresse, et le rire moqueur. Oh, liqueur enchanteresse, verse l'ivresse et oublie dans mon cœur.
Nettie's next song, there is a simple majesty as it tells in soaring melody The story of a man whose feet were in the freshly turned earth, but whose head was in the stars. Nelson Eddy singing The Blind Plowman.
Set my hands upon the plow, my feet upon the sod. Turn my face toward the east and praise thee to God. Every year the rains do fall, the seeds they stir and spring. Every year the spreading tree shelter birds that sing. From the shelter of your heart, brother, drive out sin. Let the little birds of faith come and nest therein. God has made his sun to shine on both you and me.
It's always hard to part with good company, so we're sorry that the time has come to say goodbye. But I must say it now for our guest Clark Gable, for our regular company, Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, Robert Arm Brewster, and for our new maid friends, the Stroud twins. And may I say to all of you who have listened to this broadcast that this hour with you is made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Such purchases are the best way of telling us that you enjoy our show. Next week at the same time, we'll all be with you again. So until then, this is Don Amici saying au revoir. This is Carlton Cadell speaking for Jason Sanborn. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.